Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to embolden you with discipline, personal growth, and abundance to live your most authentic life. To the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Tanya Murfin.
And I'm Angie Mullings. And we're so excited to kick off this year. Our first guest of 2025 is Logan Aguirre. She is the owner and publisher of 417 Magazine.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah, we had Logan on. You were one of our first guests when we've, you know, just a few months in. But a lot has changed in your world since then. And we'll take you back to Ladies Who Launched 2023, correct?
Yeah.
And we are avid fans of Ladies Who Launched. We love the event and every all the networking and everything about the event, honestly. Yep. Just love it.
It has the best energy.
It does.
You just know you're going to show up with a smile and you're going to leave with an even bigger smile.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And meet some incredible women in our community. So. But you had some poignant remarks at that particular event in 2023. So take our listeners, for those who weren't in attendance, back, or just as a reminder for those who were, to that time and what was going on with you and what the message was you wanted to convey at that particular Ladies Who Launch.
Yeah, I had hit a complete wall. And I... like emotionally, it just work. It was really all work related. It wasn't really in my personal life. It was just feeling like I just didn't want to do it anymore. And that's really scary when you're the business owner.
Right. Yes. And at that point, sorry to stop you there, but I want everyone to understand this was a family owned business that you ended up taking over. You thought you were going to take over with your brother and you didn't. It was just you doing it solo. And so at that point, how long had you been at 417?
At that point, 16 years.
Okay.
And I had been the owner. I had bought it about 2 years before that for my parents.
Okay.
And a lot of things about buying it, nothing felt really all that different. It was just kind of different on paper because I had been running it.
Yeah.
Now I just had a little more, well, all the freedom that I needed to make decisions and put things in motion that I wanted to do. And so that was all going well. I think sometimes you just get stuck and I didn't feel like I had any options. I mean, my options were sell the business, close the business. And I kind of relate it to like a postpartum mom where you hear postpartum women say like, I just wanted to lock the door and run away. And that's how I felt. Like the business is my baby.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to have to deal with it anymore.
Right.
There's crying. There's
late nights, long nights.
Yes.
Yeah. 3 a.m.
Everything hurts.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it just got hard. It's a hard business. Mm-hmm. It's very low margin. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. You know, it's rapid. There's always deadlines. You know, a lot of people can, there's lots of businesses that are similar. I'm not saying ours is unique, but it's a hard business and it's hard to, you know, hit the numbers you want to hit and pay at the rate you want to pay so that you retain the best talent.
Yeah,
and it just got all to be just too exhausting. And I thought like, why did I end up here?
Yeah. And you make a great point for those of us who are business owners. You don't really think about it. You know, they preach that you should have a succession plan, right? Well, that's kind of hard to do sometimes. It's hard when you're the owner and you are at that point where you just are stuck and you don't know where to go from there. And you do have two choices, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, you know, I had the choice to go get a different job, which is what most people do.
Yeah.
And, but really, if I thought about it, I don't want to work anywhere else.
Right.
And I definitely don't want to work for anyone else.
Right.
Right. And, but I did feel like, you know, I am the sole breadwinner at my house. Mm-hmm. My husband does real estate and that's more of our long-term plan.
Sure.
But for life right now, it is, you know, it is about my job. And so I just, no matter where I looked, I felt like I didn't have a lot of options. And I also at that time had a lot of friends about my same age that were also kind of hitting career walls or getting stuck. And they all had this flexibility to take a break, quit their job, take the summer off with their kids. And I, you know, that didn't seem like something I could do just because of, you know, none of them owned the business that they were leaving or that they were stepping away from. So I was just having a pity party, you know, I just, you know, felt really sorry for myself.
So after you left here, you were going on a month vacation.
I did finally tell my team I have to have a break. And so I did a 1 month sabbatical where I completely disconnected. I was not on email. I was not in any communication with them. I took all my social media away and I just took a break for a month.
And so how did you take the steps to get back to your transformation? What conclusions did you come to? A vacation, Angie and I know this in our business, a vacation brings clarity because you get rest, typically, a typical vacation. You have rest and relaxation. You get away from the grind. You maybe aren't answering all your calls or any calls at all. You take a step back from social media. So you take a month off. And then what happens in that time frame for you to maybe decompress and come back and lead us through your comeback after your vacation?
I would like a do-over of a sabbatical because mine was really, really painful. I think, I mean, it was really, really hard. I just had such a pit in my stomach the whole time because I knew at the end of this, I have to go back. And so I would say that it was definitely necessary and a lot of good things came from it, but nothing changed immediately in those 4 weeks. I did not come back refreshed. I did not come back feeling like, you know, I'm ready
Here
to
we go.
Do
Let's
this.
Do this
yeah.
again.
But I did spend, I guess, you know, ultimately when I think about all of it, and one a line that spoke to me from a book I read just this past year called How Build Like a Woman was, you know, taking personal, like radical personal accountability. And that's what I would recommend to anybody who feels stuck is really the only person that can do anything about it is you.
That's right.
And it's so much more fun and easy to blame everybody else.
Oh,
you
want to
blame your job, your husband, your coworker, you know, the economy. You know, there's so many people. It's so fun to put it on. But ultimately, those people, you have no control over their behaviors or changing them at all. And so I just had to really do it for myself and look inside. And, you know, I read a lot. I did a lot of journaling. But nothing happened immediately. It is like any other process. It's hard. And you have to just put the work in. And it's not fun. It's definitely more fun to just ignore it and just keep going. But eventually that catches up with you, right? So I, you know, I think I did have a mentor who in, you know, was still having a pity party come September. And I was crying and he just said, you know, are you waiting for somebody's permission? Like the things that, because I was telling him, like, if I could do anything I wanted, here's all the things I would do. Here's here's the things that I think would change everything if I could just do these things and all business related. And he's like, whose permission are you waiting on?
That's great advice.
And that was really powerful because I think as women, or as like a newer business owner, you know, you are kind of like, oh, shoot. Is that me? And, you know, if I make a decision, then everyone follows that decision. And there's pressure in that, too, because I'm just making the best decision I can in the moment. I am obviously not an expert. I'm just like anybody else. And so big decisions feel even scarier. And then when you're stuck, it's so hard to even see how you could get there. It feels like there's no roadmap. But him just saying that and kind of giving, and then he said, isn't the best case scenario that you want to stay at the business you own and you want to stay and run it? Like, isn't that the best case scenario? Yes. Okay, then why don't you just start doing the things you want to do and stop worrying about whose feelings are going to be hurt or who's going to be disrupted by it or, you know, that it might be kind of hard to make some changes and just start putting those things into play. And that, and then he recommended the book Dual Transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. those, once I started reading that book, it really just validated everything that I had been thinking about that I wanted, that I thought would make the business more exciting for me. Mm-hmm. So if I think back, I think I was kind of bored.
Yeah.
I think mm-hmm. I was just tired of some of the stuff we'd been doing forever that just didn't seem as high quality or as excellent as I would want from our brand, but we were doing it because we'd always done it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And once I started taking some things away, it's just like anything else. You have to clear the closet out in order to make room for anything new. And once I started making those decisions and like, okay, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to do that. And then a new idea would come to me. And
mm-hmm.
that's where I love to yeah. live is, you know, vision casting and thinking about the next thing, thinking about, you know, ways that we can expand our brand and expand our reach. And just like a flywheel, as soon as, you know, one thing, then it just start, you know, mm-hmm. it starts going and slowly right. that energy came back.
Yeah. There's several things I'd like to kind of go back and spotlight, if you will. So it's hard. The journey's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we often hear that people stop along the journey because they don't recognize the little wins every day. So how did you do that? How the journey was hard and you were right in the midst of it and you were struggling still, but what kept you going? Were there little things along the way that you could point to?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, right away, one of the biggest decisions that we made was to discontinue our home magazine, which we had done forever. It was a quarterly magazine, and it was very profitable.
Mm-hmm.
It just was one of those products that I felt like we could do a better job on that content if we didn't have to fill an entire magazine with it. Mm-hmm. And if we could mm-hmm. do content that was a lot more personal and authentic versus some of this stuff that, like, if you could find that in any magazine, why do we need to publish that? So what is unique about making a home in the Ozarks and mm-hmm. the people that do that and what their home means to them and that kind of thing. And when we met with our clients about it, it was very well received that we were going to be moving that content into 417 every single month, and we were building out more digital properties for it. So when I started, you know, some of these things that I thought were going to be really scary, when I was able to really cast the vision out mm-hmm. about the direction things were going, the response was really, really positive. Mm-hmm. And so those sorts of things tell you you're on the right track. Mm-hmm. We chose to do a big rebrand, redesign, reinvest in our core product. And that energized everybody inside 417 yeah. that got to work on it. And then I personally, for myself, I have this giant journal that I do one a year. I'm mm-hmm. on my sixth one for next year, I think. And it's all about setting monthly and quarterly goals and reflecting back on them. And so that's always a nice thing because, yeah, you forget all the things that
yeah.
you've done.
Yeah.
And it can, you know, you're only looking at the next problem in front of you yeah. and it can be super, you have to have some of those systems in place to look back. And especially when you're the business owner, no one's like, great job, Logan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like,
true.
You kind of have to give your yeah. own like little cheerleading moment of like, hey, you did that. You did
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So how have your changes been received from your team?
Really positively. I think, you know, everyone was excited about the, you know, the rebrand and the redesign.
Yeah.
They were excited to have four fewer deadlines.
Yeah,
and,
I'm sure.
And be able to spend more time on the core product.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, we were able to launch the Legacy Network, which is a new program that we did. We were able to level up Ladies Who Launch.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, you know, again, when you're cleaning out some stuff, then you yes. have capacity to do new, exciting things. And so it has been, very well received internally and has created a lot of new energy.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Were you nervous about rolling that out to your team? Did you lose sleep over how do I do this?
Yes, I did, because when I rolled it out to them, I paired it with, guys, I have to tell you where I've been, like mentally, emotionally. Because
mm-hmm.
I had
mm-hmm.
definitely told my core leadership team, but they were very protective of me. But some of them said, you really shouldn't, don't tell everybody. They're going to, they'll freak out if they kind of know where your headspace is. So I kind of had to get through it to then say, let me just take you back to where I've been, what I've been feeling, so that I was just super vulnerable and really just said, you know, so basically everything I just told you guys, I told them. And I told them about the book, and I said, so here's what my vision is and the roadmap that I think that we need to follow. And so here's the things we're going to put into place. And I'm a big believer on doing a lot of one-on-one conversations, small groups, before I ever say something to the whole team.
Right.
So I like to, by the time there's a big announcement, my hope is that almost everyone has already heard it. And they're just getting to now hear it as a group
together,
but no one's like being, no one's surprised in that moment. So that's, you know, just part of like, you know, building that buy-in and collaboration and threading the needle, bringing people along. Is there's rarely something that I say in a big setting that will be the first time someone's heard anything about it.
Sure. Because your team members are your family members, right? You work together every day.
Yeah.
And you feel like they're family. So it's like delivering some news to a family member.
Yeah.
You do it cautiously, carefully.
Yeah.
Lots of thought put into it.
Kind of choose the moment and choose what is, you know, not everything has to be shared all the time. So once we had made some of these decisions, then when I did our, you know, kickoff for this year, just said, let me just tell you where I've been. And that some of these decisions will then probably make more, even more sense. And here's where we're going and why.
Yeah.
So just bringing them along when it was, the time was right.
Yeah.
Did your team recognize, did those closest to you recognize that you were in a slump and stuck?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Because you have a very cheerful personality. So on your worst day, we might not know there's anything going on with you.
Right?
I'm just curious if anybody called you out and said, what's up? You're off.
No. No, really, they didn't.
Yeah.
And I would just remove myself from the office on the days that it was bad.
We're bad.
Yeah. Because I do want to really manage my energy the best I can.
Yes.
And how I show up at work. And so there were days that I did lock I just left.
Yeah.
Went home and got in bed for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that would be a good question to go back and ask is, has anyone noticed a change in how I, you know, in my presence or energy from before to now? That's a good question.
Yeah.
Two good leadership lessons there. One, sort of never let them see you sweat, right? You don't want to bring the energy down in the room and, you know, that hurts your team. So if you're feeling that way, don't take it out on your team. Essentially, just go lock your door, go home. I used to drive around when I had, on my worst days, I would just drive around and until I felt better, and then I would come back to the office. Secondly, is having the ability to be vulnerable in front of, I think a lot of leaders would think, no, I can't let them know where I was or how it was or or whatever. I have to be steely, if you will. And I think that's a really good lesson for leaders to understand that people need to know where you are, where you've been, and not when you're going through it per se, but when you've overcome it, because they could face the same thing themselves.
Yeah.
So,
and learn from that. You know, for the most part, people are empathetic and they want you to be okay, and they want to do what they can to help. And
So what would you say are the best lessons you learned about your journey? And what did you learn that Logan can take forward into the new version of 417 Magazine, but also your own life journey of how to maybe better deal with your internal struggles, because we all go through a season of ugly. You know, we all do, and for various reasons. What advice would you give somebody if you found somebody tomorrow in the same stuck position that you were?
Well, I think I actually have had people reach out to me, and I've after my talk at Ladies Who Launch, and I'm in the same spot, and so I just encourage them to really think about their own behaviors, really to go back and look at yourself. You know, some people say, oh, my team, I can't even take a vacation. They're always, you know, they're always communicating with me? Well, what boundaries have you put in place that has made that okay? So go back and look at your own behaviors. What can you control? What can you? And then when your teammate is on vacation, are you bothering them the whole time? Because then that is setting an example that this is what we do when people are gone. We still, you know, ask them for things left and right.
That's right.
Right.
And so I, you know, my first step is just like, you really have to do that inventory. Like, what is it that's, that you think if you went to a new job, somehow these things wouldn't follow you? They're probably going to follow you because they're your habits or your tendencies, your behaviors. So that radical personal accountability, I think, is super important. And really what that leads to that I've really started investing in this year, once I kind of felt like I got things going the right way at work, is leading yourself first. And you know, you can't be a good leader for other people unless you truly know who you are, what your core values are, and how you want to be in alignment with them at all times. And so this year I hired a coach, and I've been, for the first time ever, really investing in myself and making sure that I'm leading myself before I'm trying to lead other people. And I think before, you know, I was just trying to lead the business, lead everybody. And there, you know, that's what you do as leaders. You're always taking care of everybody else first, making sure everybody has what they need. And, you know, and that works for a while. But eventually it's like you have to refill your own tank.
You really do. I can use my ownership and job as a broker owner. When we opened our office, we had no idea what we were doing. You know, I mean, I came from just being a realtor, and then now we own a business, and somebody's got to do something, right? So who's doing what? What are we supposed to be doing? So being thrust into any kind of job and an ownership or a even top leader position, you oftentimes don't know the job, or you've done a little bit of the job, but now you got a whole nother part of the job. And so I can say that I have had some of those feelings in the past where you've led, and you're like, what on earth am I doing? And I just fell into a routine that maybe was never even thought about. It was just what I was supposed to be doing. You know, can you say the same thing, Angie?
Yeah, because there's really no playbook, right, for any of the jobs that we do as leaders. You can educate yourself as much as possible. You can read. You can get. I love the idea of getting a coach. I've not yet done that for myself, and I feel like that could really push me over the edge. But most of the time, we don't feel like it's a good enough investment. It's you know, we look at where could we be spending that money to help others rather than filling our tank. You mentioned a lot of things. I listened to a podcast this morning and I was like, it's like she was the guest on this podcast because on this podcast I was listening to, because honestly, you know, your energy level, where are you spending your energy? And you just like you're worried about your phone being plugged in and having, you know, your battery charged. You have to think about that in terms of your own battery and that you need to be charged up all the time, and you need time to reflect, and whether that's meditation. You have to find what's right for you. There's lots and lots of tools and things that you can do, but you have to figure out your own rhythm. And then the boundary question, I feel like that should be the word for 2025. I feel like everybody's talking about boundaries, how to set them, because yes, you are... People treat you the way you allow them to treat you. And so you have to have some hard conversations with yourself in terms of, because you're right, they're going to follow you wherever you go. If you're allowing people to walk all over you or call you at 2 a.m. or whatever the boundary that needs to be set, if you're not setting them, it's not going to change just because you go to a different location or a different job.
And really, if you can put some of that on your team, then that really, a lot of those decisions, then they, that helps them grow as leaders too.
Yeah,
it does.
Like, pretend I'm not here. How, what decision would you be making right now?
Exactly.
And that was something that, something really good that came out of the sabbatical was, I mean, we prepared for it. Everyone knew, you know, if this comes up, who's accountable for this decision? That's how I worded it. Because I think it's easy to question decisions when you're not accountable to them.
That's right.
Yes.
So, okay, if this comes up and you're accountable for this, then how are you going to handle it? And they handled some big things came up while I was gone, and I didn't even know about them. They handled them so beautifully. And then, you know, said, I think there's stuff that we bring to you that I don't think we need to bring to you. I think we've got it. Mm-hmm. So it was great leadership development for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then kind of helped take some things off my plate that, yeah, they've got it.
Yeah.
They don't. And if they make a mistake, then that's okay, right?
So, right. Absolutely.
I do think pushing back on that does help. I think if you train people to constantly ask for your, and, you know, some people just want your approval, or they want yes. you to tell them they're doing a good job. And so right. there's a time and a space for making sure that you're saying, hey, I know that was probably a tough choice. I think you did the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you're training them that they always come to you for everything, then they're always going to come to you for
right.
everything. So yeah. some of it is letting go of some
you're
control.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Which is hard for all three of us.
You say that like it's a...
That's okay.
I don't know. I was just sensing that maybe we were all the same in that way. And it maybe not being as perfect as you know, I would have wanted it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did anyone die? Did anyone lose their job over it? No.
Right.
Probably
right.
no one noticed except me that this, you know, exactly. one little detail wasn't exactly how I would have done it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I think those are all good things to reflect on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you talking about leadership, you're a leader in your company. You're a leader in the community. We all come once a year to Ladies Who Launch and we watch for you to lead us, we wait for it. So what are your best leadership lessons that you have learned, maybe from a mentor, from someone else, and even from this journey that mm-hmm. you've been on, that you can now go out and preach to others, or maybe just even on a one-on-one phone call, somebody that needs help rising to the occasion or rising to the next level? What are your leadership points that you can give us?
Well, I have a leadership talk called I Learned from the Worst, because my first several bosses were just terrible. And so I took notes on what not to do.
Uh-huh.
And uh-huh. so some of those go-tos are the, you know, praise in public, criticize in private, mm-hmm. and that it's, you know, never appropriate to call somebody out in front of right. the teammates or a client. And, you know, right. use those for private coaching sessions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just having the courage to have the direct conversations. I've definitely worked yeah. for people who they're afraid to have those conversations with you. And so then they handle it in really weird ways.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I had mm-hmm. one that would leave voicemails while she was running on her treadmill at night when she got home. And so you'd come to work the next morning and there'd be this like out of breath message telling you all these things you did wrong. But then when you would see her in the office, she would pretend like everything was okay. And so, you know, sometimes I just have to tell someone like, I'm going to give you some really direct feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because I care about you and I want you to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to be hard mm-hmm. to hear.
Yeah.
And then I just say it.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've had to work on that because sometimes I wouldn't say the first part and I would just say it. That's not always well received.
Yeah. Massage it a little.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I just think, you know, and really being thoughtful about those conversations,
yeah.
like walking into the, you know, thinking through how you want to say it and your why behind it. And as long as it's because you want them to show up better
mm-hmm.
or you know they can do better, as long as your heart is in the right place, then, you know, hopefully they're, even if it's hard to hear, they can reflect on it and mm-hmm. think, yeah, that actually probably was good advice, or she's
yeah.
probably right about that.
Mm-hmm.
But making sure it comes from a place of true caring, because you
exactly.
want someone to do better.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think the other one, I kind of talked about it a little bit already, is just the building consensus and just threading the needle on the story all the time and making sure that, you know, there's people that I always talk to one-on-one to get their insights internally before a big decision is made.
Mm-hmm.
I gather a lot of feedback, and then, you know, I rarely make a decision just because I've decided, even though I could.
Mm-hmm.
It's within
sure.
my bounds.
Right.
I find that it doesn't really always go well. It creates a lot of chaos. And if it's not clearly communicated, then there's so much confusion on the back end. So
mm-hmm.
it's so much easier to be having those conversations up front, gathering feedback, kind of working on my message. If you're
mm-hmm.
talking to different people internally, you can kind of work on, okay, that seemed to yep. resonate,
yep.
that did not.
Yeah.
And then again, taking it to a small group, people who are going to be affected, making sure they understand and have
mm-hmm.
time to talk through it before it's ever announced. So mm-hmm. it takes more time. And it's not that everyone has to always agree, but I have found that it's just so much easier, especially when you're working through change management, mm-hmm. to just spend the time building consensus Definitely. And getting the insights and feedback and working on the messaging and then telling the story mm-hmm. over and over and over. You can never communicate things enough.
Mm. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. You've probably had a lot of mentors in your journey along the way. We had an event for the realtors where we talked a lot about mentorship, and it was interesting to hear people mention people's names that they weren't. Mentorship doesn't have to be this official, mm-hmm. you're my mentor, you know, right. you know, will you mentor me mm-hmm. kind of thing. It's really about things that we pick up and learn from and people we watch and want to emulate, mm-hmm. right? So what has mentorship meant to you, and maybe who have some of your mentors been?
I feel like I have so many.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never really been in a very structured or formal mentorship situation as someone who was being mentored. Mm-hmm. When I was on the chamber board, I was paired with young professionals and as their mentor, which felt hilarious because I was like, I actually don't know that I have anything to tell you. I feel like we're probably in the same boat, but not that I was a young professional at the time, but I was, you know, closer to their age.
Maybe. Yeah, right.
But, you know, I think through Biz 417, we're lucky that we have access to really, really great business leaders and thought leaders. And yes. then through my role on the chamber board, where those people have really become my friends, and I say like a personal board of directors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sitting in meetings and seeing how people show up, how people navigate conversations, how they think about their business. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm just always learning from, you know, really, really smart people mm-hmm, in 417 land. Mm-hmm. And then outside too, I mean, the person that, you know, kind of gave me the talking to of like, what are you waiting on, is a publisher in St. Louis mm-hmm. that, you know, was, his name's Matt Cohen, but he was a tech founder and then bought St. Louis Magazine. And so he introduced me to that book. Mm-hmm. Don Harkey is a good friend of mine, and we always joke about this one time. This was years ago, but I had an employee leaving, and I was just so distraught. Like, now I've learned, like, we're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's sad, but, like, I've been here 18 years. It's not always about that one person, you know?
Right.
Like, we always figure it out. Yeah. But I hadn't quite got there yet, and I was just devastated. And so I went to his office, and he's downtown, and we walked over to Tinga Tacos, and we always talk about the day, the tissues and tacos, because we got tacos, and then I just was like bawling in his office with tissues. I'm like, thanks for the tissues and tacos. But Tom Douglas with J-Mark,
yeah.
you know, he's yeah. become a good friend of mine, and he's our big Think Summit sponsor. So I get to spend a lot of time just thinking of just picking his brain on what he's thinking
brilliant.
About. He's so
he
smart.
Is. Oh my
and
gosh.
I just feel like I'm like the laziest person when I talk to him. I mean, the amount of things that he reads and accomplishes in one day, I do not understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just, you know, and he's just encouraging mm-hmm. of me. And then, you know, like Debbie Chantart, she was one of the chamber chairmen before me, so mm-hmm. she's always been a big champion of mine. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, a lot of my friends are my mentors too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, of course, my parents, especially just growing up, my dad was in TV news, my mom was in PR and marketing. It was very exciting, their careers were, but mm-hmm. they're also high stakes. And there was times mm-hmm. that my dad lost his job, mm-hmm. and that's the business.
Yep. Yeah.
And they, you know, things never fell apart. Mm-hmm. They always figured it out. Mm-hmm. We might be moving to a new city, but hey, yep. there was something exciting that we were going to discover there. And I think that's, you know, has made me really resilient and scrappy, because mm-hmm. we rolled with the punches growing
yeah.
up. I mean, that's just the TV business.
Yep. Yeah.
And it was always okay. Mm-hmm. We always figured it out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's something that I always think. When I'm worried that tomorrow the whole business is going to go under, I always think like, and I don't know if I can cuss on this, but I always ask myself,
it's
like,
allowed.
Logan, have you ever really shit the bed?
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'm like, no, Logan, ever. You've never really shit the bed. It's not going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to be okay.
Right.
These are the things I have to do to encourage myself. But
yeah, we all have something like that, right?
Yeah. Truly. You just have to remind yourself, like, I've actually never just totally bombed.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, I haven't had fail, you know, things not work out, but like, I've been able to pivot quickly and figure it out.
Yeah.
So I would like to ask a few things about your new 417 magazine.
Okay.
So the listeners know, and we, of course, follow you on social media, and we read your magazines and love them. I feel like if you took this away from us, you might have people on your doorstep demanding, what the hell happened? You can't take this
away.
Name
a price. Let's talk. It can be yours.
So tell us, since your transformation, what your new name is, kind of slogan is that you're going with, and the other changes. And then I want to ask you specifically about a word you used, about your transformation, and about your interview with Johnny.
Okay.
Yeah.
The, you know, the redesign and rebrand was really fun. We hadn't, in 26 years, had never touched the logo. It had always been the same. Wow. And it was just and I felt this pull to really tell our story in just the most authentic way possible, as far as like, we're here to tell the story of the Ozarks, and we're here to shine a light. And that really helped inform how we wanted to move through the redesign and making it, you know, the theme was clean it up and calm it down.
Okay.
We had never redesigned it from the ground up. So every single thing you see in there is incredibly intentional. And it's not any different than what we were doing before.
Right.
Our mission is still the same. It's just really helped, like, centering ourselves on, hey, we are here for the Ozarks. And that means that we're cheering for the Ozarks. Yeah. And then we're here as a resource for the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, we've always been a regional brand as far as we cover from West Plains to Joplin and Lebanon to Northwest Arkansas. But this really helps us, you know, just make sure that we're always thinking of, okay, we're covering food. Have we thought of something in Joplin? Right. Have we looked into West Plains? Like, are we making sure that we're covering things regionally? Yeah. And then it's helped inform, like, our choices to move Ladies Who Launch to Branson and make it a regional retreat. Mm-hmm. This year, Think Summit is going out to Convoy in Republic.
Okay.
And so it just, you know, it kind of helps inform these decisions that help us, you know, really showcase the region. It's not just about Springfield. That. Springfield's obviously the biggest in the region. Mm-hmm. And just kind of, center the brand for, you know, it's a legacy product. Yep. And so for the next generation of consumers, and it's been really fun. A lot of colloquialisms that we've brought into the magazine. So words that mean something if you're from here.
Mm-hmm.
And and just kind of really making it feel rooted. Yeah. That's the word that just kept coming back to me.
And that's the word that I wanted to ask you about.
Okay, great.
Your rooted word. Yeah. And I loved kind of, you know, having followed the transformation and then reading about rooted and why you use that word. And yes, here in the Ozarks, I think you could find anybody that has grown up here, even transplanted here for some time.
Yeah.
And how rooted you feel to this area. So tell us about that word just a little bit, and why that was part of your contribution in this episode.
A couple of threads. One is, we had done a big audience survey, a reader survey, and they were asking for more content that was maybe more historical or cultural than we had really been doing. So people were asking more about, like, we really want to understand, like, this place and the culture and history, and that was nothing we had ever really covered before. So, you know, that really encouraged us to find more stories that really feel rooted. So, you know, it might be a, you know, specific person or a business or a product that is just purely an Ozark treasure. And that really surprised us, so that was helpful guidance, because that hadn't really come up before. But I do think maybe you have newer people moving to the area, people who have moved back and feel really proud to have been here, and they want to feel rooted to something. But bigger picture is AI and social, and there's so many things to make you feel untethered that can make you feel like you don't have a sense of place, or you don't have a sense of community, or you can, you know, you're not sure if you're on the right path. You're looking at what all these other people are doing.
Right.
And so I just feel like increasingly we need to feel rooted to something.
Yeah.
And I think the magazine can be a great connection point for that, to help you feel rooted, inspire you to get connected, yeah. go on the trail, try the restaurant, go to the mm-hmm. event, things that will just kind of come back to that community connection point.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah,
thank
I
you for
do
that
too.
Answer.
Yeah.
So then your person of the year last year.
That little rascal.
That yeah. little guy named yeah. Johnny Morris.
Yeah.
I love everything about Johnny Morris.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. So what was it like to finally convince him? Well, you didn't have to convince him to sit down with you.
Oh, yeah.
To convince him to be in your cover by himself. And I love this part of the story.
Yes.
What he showed yeah. up with.
No, getting him to agree to it was the first chase. And once I got him there, then I set my sights on the next one, which was the photo. Well, I wanted the photo all along, but I was like, I'm going to have to slow play this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Truly, he said no a lot.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He does not want it to be about him.
No.
Yeah. He does not want the spotlight. He yeah. does not want to be the person that it's about,
yeah.
which is admirable.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that, mm-hmm. wasn't, certainly. That was not what the article was about. The article was about him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he tried to pitch us lots of different things it could be about. And he just would not... His team, you know, it's not like we were talking to him.
Yeah.
His team was not able to commit to mm-hmm. him doing an interview. And finally, one day, I got in touch with Debbie Bennett, his person, because we'd been going through our editorial team and just said, you know, what is there any way?
Right.
And she said, well, Logan, he thought you were going to be interviewing him. And I'm like, oh, I can interview him. Is that what the
yeah.
hookup is?
Right.
Well, right? Let's go.
Just say the yeah. word.
And so... Then there was like another 2 to 3 weeks, and he will or he won't, or he might have time this afternoon. The amount of time I spent like by my phone, just like, just in case. But also I wanted to be able to record it because I wasn't going to be the one writing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I needed to make sure whenever I did get to talk to him that I had like a whole setup going. And finally... It worked, and we got to talk, and he called me while he was elk hunting,
mm-hmm.
and I just talked to him like an old friend. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked me, like, how did you interview him? I'm like, I just talked to him like we're buddies, and...
Yeah, because that's how he is.
That's how
honestly.
He is.
Yeah.
He's so kind and uh-huh. so intentional
yeah.
and humble.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it was yeah. such a wonderful experience. And then from there... He, for another couple times I have to tell you, on the phone call, and since it was recorded, this is funny, I let my family listen to it because my kids love Johnny Morris.
Uh-huh.
My son is obsessed with all things fishing and Bass Pro. And so I had told them in advance, I'm like, I tried on the call to get him to commit to a photo. And my daughter, at the end, she's like, Mom, that was so cringy. How many times you asked him? She's like, I can't believe you kept asking him. I'm like, well, he wouldn't say no. So
yeah.
I just kept going. Yeah. Kept going. And but he didn't say yes either. And finally, on the last time that I said it, he goes, well, now, Logan, you have a real happy day. And yeah, just click.
That's perfect.
Oh my gosh.
That's perfect.
But eventually he got a hold of my phone number and then we were buds. And so uh-huh. then, he was calling or texting, follow up. He was really nervous about it.
Yeah.
And so we did some negotiating on letting him see it early so that he mm-hmm. felt good right. about it. And mm-hmm. I said, how about if you want to see it early, which is against our rules, then... if I let you see it early, then you'll let us do a photo. And he was like, oh, you're a feisty one. He's like, are we negotiating? I'm like, Johnny, I love to negotiate. Let's go. And he's like, all right, a deal's a deal. And then the day of finally the photo was happening. I was in Mexico for my husband's 50th, and he called me that morning. Oh, Logan, I just really don't want to do this photo, and I really want to have my team there. And I'm like, Johnny, your team can come, but it's about mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. We really want a photo of you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it at the magazine, we have one picture of him, and it's the picture everybody has of him holding the mm-hmm. fish.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really want a new headshot of him, you know? And I want him on the cover.
Yeah.
And so he said... So I tried to talk him out of the team. I'm like, they can come, but we need one picture with you, just one picture
mm-hmm.
with you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then my team sent me a text. They're like, he brought this sign. He insists on having the sign, so his team is represented.
Perfect.
And perfect. So I texted him and I said, I heard about the sign. I'm like, you're a sneaky one. And he said, the bloodletting is over. But I have to tell you, that night our team went down and he, you know, he did an on-camera interview that we were able to use at our Biz 100 party. Mm-hmm. He treated all of them to dinner. He could just not be more kind and generous. And then since it's come out, he's personally called me to say, you know, how pleased he is with it and thanks, you know,
that's awesome.
Glad that he did it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
He paints all those signs himself. Mm-hmm.
I know, and that yeah. it's so.
So
amazing.
That was really
it
special,
yes. Yes.
And you know, once we saw it, we're like, it's just so him. So,
yeah, yeah, it's yes. perfect.
Let the sign, let it. Work. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, so you got
perfect.
I got him.
I got him.
I mean, it was such a fun chase. Maybe the most fun I've.
I bet.
Yeah, the biggest I'm sure. career highlight. Just
yeah.
You know, I think once he realized I was a worthy opponent. We went toe-to-toe.
Yeah.
And it was funny at the Biz 100 event, his wife and daughter accepted his award because he was deer hunting at the time. And his daughter, Megan, said, Logan, thank you for putting up with my dad's shenanigans.
Oh.
That's a good word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to the listeners or the watchers, if you haven't read that magazine, you can see Johnny on the front, mm-hmm. and he painted a sign that says, thanks team, sure proud of you.
Yep, he wanted yeah. his team in the picture.
Yes, yep. And then the article has another photo with that same mm-hmm. sign with his three longest employees.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
So he
really
wanted
special.
To highlight yeah. some yeah. of his employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's the fish picture.
There it is.
There it is. Yes.
The only other picture.
You only look like that, right?
The only other picture that exists.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a great article.
It is a great article. And we all, you know, think of Johnny as this, he's just a humble guy from ever. I don't know him, but everything I've heard in December for the chamber, they interviewed two of his longest time employees and they talked about how it is to work at Bass Pro. And so, Logan, as we kind of start to wrap up, I'm curious from your conversation with Johnny, was there a leadership tip that he gave, or was there some big takeaway that you had from that conversation with regard to his leadership and his style?
Well, I met Johnny a few years, like when he opened the aquarium, and that interaction and this one, but what I'll say both times that I think we could all take away is he immediately puts the attention back on the person he's talking mm-hmm. to. Mm-hmm. So for an example, when he opened the aquarium, my parents were in Sweden because my dad had had a retinal tear and they were traveling overseas and he had to have surgery and he had to stay in Sweden for a month because he couldn't get on a plane.
Oh my gosh.
And Jeannie knew this because she and my mom are connected on Facebook, his wife. Mm-hmm. And so as my husband and I went through the receiving line and we, you know, introduced ourselves, Jeannie immediately said, how's your dad? Please let him know we're thinking about him. Mm. This is at the opening of their aquarium.
Yeah.
That is like
yeah.
state of the art.
Yeah.
Yes. An evening that's all
big
about
day.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Johnny said, Logan, I just love your magazine. Thank you for everything you do. We're so proud of to have 417 here. Mm-hmm. And then when I got on the phone to interview him, he had actually asked if the first part of the conversation could just be private and not recorded and not have anybody else in the room mm-hmm. because he wanted to just say how proud he was of our family and how much yeah. the magazine meant to him and how proud he was of, you know, our photography and the stories we tell. And that, you know, I couldn't even get the interview started because he wanted to say that first.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And so I think it's just that it was very unexpected both times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think such a wonderful quality that, you know, like that intentionality of
yes.
making the other person, you know,
at ease,
sharing gratitude for
yes.
them, and
right.
and I think that is just his style is deflection. He doesn't want it to be about
yeah.
him,
mm-hmm.
but just really sincerely, you know, sharing gratitude where you want to, and
mm-hmm.
and I always say, you know, I always one of my mottos is be more interested than mm-hmm. interesting.
Yes, mm-hmm.
so
yes.
being more interested in others than trying to sound interesting yourself,
mm-hmm.
and I would say he embodies that mm-hmm. absolutely
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that is a great leadership lesson to
it
land
really
on, right?
Yeah.
So for 2025, mm-hmm. can we all challenge ourselves and others to be more interested
yeah.
than interesting?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
Me too.
Thank you, Logan. It's always great to
always
see you.
Always a pleasure.
You guys.
Yeah,
we're awesome. I love what you're doing.
Well, and we love what you're doing, and we're big fans of the magazine, of the events that you put on. We try to make it to those. Like I said, it's a great way to network and get to learn about what's going on in 417 land and beyond. I mean, just the things that will touch us eventually that maybe aren't here yet, that we get introduced to at those events. It's amazing.
Well, thank you guys. Yeah. Appreciate the support.
Yeah.
Have a great 2025.
Yeah. Thank you. And we wish that for all of you out there, that you have a great 2025. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we hope you share it with someone who might be interested in hearing all of Logan's tips about leadership.
And make sure that you get the 417 magazines that are on the rack, or even better, have a subscription
Absolutely.
Sent to your house.
There you go.
We'd love to send it to you.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. We'll catch you next time.
See you next time. Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic Podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.